Okay, hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I'm here to conduct this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 26th of July 2009. If you could just state your full name, your age, and where you're from.
Yep, it's Lucy Jane Kerry. I am 33, nearly 34, from Leicester.
And how are you doing today?
Very nervous, and a bit tired. Only got about 2.5 hours sleep, so I was too excited.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
I can't remember precisely, but I think it was through an internet forum that I'd contribute to, to do with knitting, which is what I'm doing on the plinth, and I think I saw it there and just kind of thought, oh, sounds interesting, yeah, give it a go. I'm sure I won't be picked, but I'll put my name down anyway.
And how did you feel when you found out you were chosen?
I couldn't believe it, actually. I thought it was a joke at first. Like, oh my god. And of course the email came in, I kind of told about five people, and I got to the bottom and it said, PS, please keep this confidential until the launch. I was like, oh. Yes. So I was really excited.
And what can I just ask you a little bit about yourself? What do you do?
I work for the British Psychological Society. I'm a quality assurance manager, which means I go around the country looking at psychology courses and making sure basically that people are learning what they need to learn and that they've got the resources they need to do that. I'm travelling around quite a lot. So although my base is in Leicester, I'm kind of all over the place.
And is it just random psychology, or have you always been quite interested in that field?
It's fairly random how I got into it. I'm not a psychologist myself. I'm a linguist by background, but I work with teams of psychologists when I go out. So. Okay.
And you said you're a linguist. Was that university?
Yeah. So I did German for my first degree, and then I've done a linguistics master's after that. Okay. So.
And what was it that inspired you to kind of go down that route?
I don't know, really. I mean, I'd always done languages at school, and you just kind of, it seemed the logical thing to do, really. And yeah, kind of, you know, get to applying for university, you think, I don't really know what I want to do, but that might be all right. And I just kind of stuck with it, really. So,
and yeah. Do you think studying something to that degree kind of affected your day to day thinkings in vocally, how you approach language?
Definitely, because I mean, a big part of my job's writing reports. And they're often reports of quite kind of sensitive issues or kind of difficult conversations you've had to have with people. So I think I'm quite aware of things like, you know, language and power and how people construct meaning, all that kind of thing. It's been really useful, actually, from the work point of view.
Was the linguistics purely for the English language?
The master's was, yeah. But I'd done German before, but I've not spoken any German for about 10 years. I've probably forgotten it all.
So, what are you actually planning on doing today?
I'm completing a knitted Angel of the North, is the plan. So I've done the body and one wing, and quite a bit of the second wing, so I just need to finish it off and construct it. But I also, when I found out that I got a place, I asked people at work what I should knit in my hour, because I knew I was going to knit, but I didn't really necessarily know what. And the idea was that whoever came up with the best suggestion would get to keep the thing afterwards. So someone suggested just like an iPod cover, so that's my plan B for when I've done the Angel of the North. So that should keep me occupied for an hour, I should think.
And is knitting something you've done for a while?
Not that long, actually, probably only about 2 years. But I really enjoy it as just a way of switching off from work, really, because it's quite repetitive. You sort of, you know, relax into a rhythm of, you know, doing the knitting, and it's kind of chills you out.
And why the Angel of the North? I mean, when is there kind of any symbolic reason, or is it?
It was an idea that sort of occurred in conversation with people, really, because when we were talking about how obviously that's quite an iconic, you know, landmark, it's a permanent piece of public art in the north, and this is a temporary piece of public art in the south, and we just kind of thought it'd be quite nice to bring those two things together. And it, you know, like I say, it was just an idea for something to do in the hour, and it's kind of blossomed from there, really. So, yeah.
And what kind of, I mean, what part does knitting play in your life? Is it just a kind of way of switching off?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. But I find that when I'm stressed at work, I go home and I knit and I calm down a little bit, but then I get stressed about the knitting, so I knit really fast and I'm really productive. So I've kind of got loads of things on the go all the time. A great big pile of stuff in the corner of the room. My husband's kind of like, you've got to stop buying wool now.
And what kind of things have you knitted?
I've knitted this top, I've knitted my handbag, I've knitted a cardigan, I've knitted scarves, too many scarves according to the husband. Presents, people, cushion covers, anything really.
And what initially got you into it as a pastime?
Just kind of looking for something to do in the evenings to kind of switch off, really. Kind of coincided with finishing my master's, because I did that kind of part-time in the evenings mostly. And kind of when I got to the end of that, I had a couple of months of just kind of not doing very much. And then I was like, need something new to do now. So I just taught myself to knit.
And what exactly are you bringing up with you onto the plinth?
Oh, I've got a bag full of goodies, lots of wool, lots of different knitting needles, some needle and thread to stitch things together with, essentials, you know, lipstick, water, chocolate, just in case. That's probably about it, I think.
And can I just ask you how you're planning on constructing it? Have you knitted the whole together?
It's in, the body's in one piece, body and head's in one piece, and that's already stuffed. And then I've done the wings separately, and I've got a stick to kind of support the wings, which nearly got stolen on the way here. A man took a shine to my stick, said, I like your stick, can I have it? No, you can't have my stick, I need it. Very strange.
So what scale are we talking?
It's probably, how big's that? About 3 foot wide-ish, and about 1.5 tall. So not life-size by any stretch of the imagination. That'd just be too much.
And is the Angel of the North something you've seen in person?
Yeah. I mean, it's always something I see when I go on the train, of going for work up to Scotland and get past it on the train. You know, you kind of know you've hit the north then.
And what kind of feelings did it evoke when you were, I mean, have you actually seen, or you've seen it from the bottom?
Yeah, no, I went a few years ago and saw it kind of up close. And it's just the scale of it is really impressive. I really like it. It's just, I think it's just because it's so big and, you know, you can't avoid it. And it's kind of really sort of majestic almost, you know, stood there. I really like it.
And have you been following this project so far?
On and off, yeah. I haven't got that much time to kind of watch the web stream stuff, but I've looked at a few and seen the programme on Fridays and kind of seen what people are doing. But I kind of stopped myself from looking at the you know, like the website where people have been posting stuff, because it got quite sort of vitriolic the first week. And I just thought, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. But then I thought, no, stick with it. But yeah, no, some of the comments have been a bit, come on.
And what do you think of it? Like, how do you think it's evolving?
I think it seems to have gone through a bit of a phase where people kind of felt the need to entertain whoever was watching, first of all. And it seems that people are being a bit braver about kind of just doing their own thing up there now. And I've been down to see a couple of things, kind of just when I've been down here for work, and just to see what people were doing. And I think it's quite nice having the contrast between people that are kind of out to entertain and people that are just there to kind of, you know, spend their hour how they want.
And can I ask you a little bit about your background?
Mm-hmm.
Where you grew up, what you were interested in, how this got you to the person?
Yeah, I grew up in Portsmouth. Got some family come up from there today as well. And then I went to university in Leeds and kind of moved back down to Leicester. So I think my mum's kind of hoping that every couple of years I might keep moving further south and eventually I'll get home. I don't think that's going to happen though. But yeah, so I mean, I guess kind of thinking about the whole north, south, Angel of the North, this thing, I'm kind of split in many ways. I'm sort of from about as far south as you can get pretty much without being on the Isle of Wight. And then I've kind of spent quite a long time in the north, so. And my stepdad's from Sunderland as well, so kind of from that new neck of the woods, so a bit of a mix.
And how do you think the north-south compares, having lived in both respective parts of the country?
I don't think it's about north and south. I think it's about this city and who, you know, where your friends are and, you know, who you've got around you, to be honest. But yeah, no, I mean, I live in Leicester now, which is really, you know, a lot more diverse than Portsmouth, you know, where I grew up. And, you know, I really like Leicester for that fact, cause there's always something kind of, you know, different going on. Got a really good group of friends around. Yeah. And like Leeds, I mean, I really enjoyed Leeds when I lived there. And of course, all my friends that was there with kind of gradually moved away after university, all that kind of thing. So it kind of, it becomes a different place then. So.
And what are you wanting to do with your life?
Not a lot, really. No, I mean, I kind of, you know, work's quite important to me and I get quite a lot out of my work. And, you know, I used to work in IT recruitment and kind of it felt like you were making a living out of people not having a job, and it felt kind of very, didn't sit very comfortably. And I got into kind of higher education admin just because I wanted to do something that, you know, not something that's terribly worthy or anything, but just something that, you know, might make a difference in some shape or form, which is kind of what I do now. And one of the things I'm finding now through work is that I'm able to kind of shape quite well what I do and kind of, you know, go off and kind of do stuff that interests me, really. I suppose I've got quite a lot of freedom in terms of how I manage my workload and kind of things I get involved in. One of the things that I'm doing today as well is raising money for a couple of organisations that I've kind of come into contact with through work. One of them's called Hearing Voices Network. They provide information and support to people that hear voices, and they try and kind of campaign to get the word schizophrenia kind of rephrased, and, you know, people talking about that sort of mental illness in more positive ways, really, in less stigmatised ways. So that's one of the organisations. And the other one's the Samaritans in Leicester. There's someone that goes to my knitting group in Leicester who volunteers for them, who's, you know, said they were in need of funds. So yeah, getting people to get their wallets out.
And Hearing Voices, is this something you've been involved in?
Not directly, no. I mean, it's one of the things that we do when we go out and visit courses is we might meet with service user groups that they're involved in. So, for example, if you're training a clinical psychologist who might be working in the NHS with people that have got different kinds of, you know, difficulties in their lives, they might get involved with kind of service user groups and like support groups, that kind of thing. And I met Jackie Dillon, who's I think she's the president of the English chapter of Hearing Voices. Met her on a visit and she was just really inspiring how she talked about how important it is for trainees to kind of you know, actually realise that service users are kind of, they're not just someone with, you know, a tick in a box that says schizophrenia. You know, there's a lot more to it than that. And yeah, she's always kind of stuck out, and that's why I decided to kind of raise money for them.
And how are you going to be promoting them today?
I'm not directly. I mean, it was kind of a bit of it's sort of grown up organically, actually, in many ways, because I'd sort of got the place, decided what I was going to do, and then thought, oh, I suppose I could just get people to sponsor me while I'm at it, you know. So Jackie's going to come along as well and kind of, you know, support from the base. But I'm not going to kind of, you know, have any banners with their website on or anything. I've obviously circulated it to people that, you know, I think might sponsor me, but I'm not kind of doing anything more than that.
And are you looking to involve yourself with the public today?
Not massively. There's a group of knitters that are meant to be coming to support, and I do have a banner to wave at them if they do indeed turn up and knit with me. But that's about the extent of my, you know, audience participation.
And ultimately, what experience are you wanting to kind of get out of this?
I don't think I've got any sort of fixed expectations, really. I mean, I keep sort of, you know, when I was saying about, you know, that first week when people were being really awful on the internet about it and sort of thinking, well, should I do this or not? And I kept coming back to the fact that, you know, when else are you going to get to see Trafalgar Square from that angle and just kind of, you know, have that experience? So I just kind of want to enjoy it for what it is and see what's what, really.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
Just very quickly, is there anybody who's with you today?
Yeah, my husband's come down, brother-in-law, a couple of friends, mum, auntie, cousins, their family. Loads of people, actually. I'm quite scared.
And how are you feeling about live web streaming?
To be honest, I'm kind of... It's sort of secondary, really. It sort of feels like it's an event that happens to be being filmed and streamed on the internet rather than for that purpose specifically. So I'm kind of not thinking about that.
Thank you very much.
No problem.